sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm John, and we are no longer a Yellow Jackets podcast.
No, not exclusively, no. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Bones and All. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, and we are, as John alluded to, we are now reviewing a new show, a returning show, a favorite for us, from season 2, episode 1, title. I did not get a title because I'm not prepared. Oh, Strangers.
Strangers in a Strange Land.
Strangers in a Strange Land.
So what's the name of the series? You said it's from season 2, episode 1, but what is the name of the series?
From.
Yeah, from season 2. So we got the season.
Yeah, from season. Yeah. So Strangers in a Strange Land is the name of a title I have a lot of beef with, for no particular reason, only that it's the name of a very controversial Lost episode about how Matthew Fox's character, his name wasn't John. What the fuck was his name? Oh my God, I'm forgetting my favorite show's characters' names. Matthew Fox, Jack got Jack his Reacher. Tattoos. They talk, the whole episode is about how Jack got his tattoos. It's such a boring episode. And it was like literally after that episode that they, like, the fans revolted and were like, wait, like, what's going on? Why are you shooting episodes about Jack's fucking tattoos? And then, like, a few weeks later, there's like the producers or like the show writers were like, okay, well, this is going to be our end date for the show. It literally all happened within the same time frame, so.
That's funny. Yeah. Like, they're on to us.
Wrap up time. Yeah.
I thought we could buy ourselves more time to try to figure out what to write about, but they're all dead. It's cool.
Supposedly they begged ABC like to end the show. They're like, like, let's have an end date in mind, a year, a date, you know. So, yeah. Also directed by Lost director Jack Bender. So.
Oh, I'm glad they found him.
It's good they found him. So I just want to talk about Lost. We're returning back to From, a show we reviewed last year that we got super into last summer, right? We got to last summer?
Last summer, yeah.
Yeah, we got really, really into it. Debuted April 23rd, so I have not seen any spoilers, so I'm super excited to watch this. John, what did you think of the episode?
I am so happy we're back to this show. I watched the first episode and then the second episode began. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. And I got like 2 minutes in before I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to.
Yeah.
I got really sad about it.
Yeah. My only complaint with this episode is that it was way too short. Like 48 minute episode. I could have like needed 10 more minutes at least, you know.
And there wasn't enough like Shauna murdering somebody, and then that becomes like a focal point for no
reason. That's true, yeah. It's a breath of fresh air. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty wild shit. The bus showing up, and I think you called it, right? That nurse, I don't know, I don't remember any of their names.
Do I? Christy.
Tabitha. No, not Tabitha. Christy, yeah.
Is it Christy?
I want to say it's Christy, you're right. Christy's fiance shows up.
Yes, Christy's fiance did show up because she did allude to it when she was with Kenny, the sheriff, quote-unquote, acting sheriff or deputy.
Yeah, if you recall in the season finale, she's like, you know, you're a great guy, but like, I still have a fiance that maybe might be waiting for me out there. Like, who knows? Maybe they'll show up on a charter bus randomly in front of the town.
That has Grand Rapids written all over the bus. Large print. Yeah. So, yes. She did show up. And she's also, like, a caregiver. She's also... That was a twist I didn't see coming, right? She takes care of one of the passengers who seems to be know more what's going on than he's letting on, right?
Yeah. He's got some sort of... Or I'm actually assuming he's, like, a seer.
Right. Something along those lines.
Because he seems to be confused a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this because it literally picks up moments after we left. Like, Boyd's still stuck in a chimney or something. Brick walls. Yeah. You know, Tabitha is underground. She meets up with that older guy, weird, creepy older man. Knows too much, yeah. Victor. And, you know, Jim is the husband is still looking for him. Donna seems to be kind of like, you know, it's kind of like after the storm, the bus shows up, the people don't know what they're doing or don't know what's going on, right? And they are reacting. It kind of was very fast paced in that, like, you know, once Jade sees the bus come, he's immediately like, they get, you know, they're getting pulled in different directions, right? They're cleaning up the house. They're, Jade sees the bus. So Donna goes and takes some people down there and they're like weirdly panicked. Like, did y'all have to, you know, cause it's almost nighttime and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's a lot of, hey y'all, how about you come in, get a nice cup of soup and some coffee and we're going to lock you inside.
Yeah. Immediately what I liked was that I like the cast, and what I love what they've done now is mix everybody up. Because now we have Jade talking to the younger kid, which is like a pairing I didn't really see coming, but it kind of works, right?
Oh, it works like I think the best, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's same with Tabitha. She's off with Victor down below, and they're still trying to get out. And then Donna is like, I like the new cast too, even though we didn't really get to spend much time with them. We kind of got a sense of who they were. And I think they wanted to just kind of have that reunion and then just kind of end it there. And as sort of the cathartic moment of the episode before the second one. But I was left wanting more. I don't know about you. I was honestly left.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, they did it right. I think, you know, and nobody dies in this episode, right?
Not yet. I'm assuming like the deaths are coming.
Die pretty
yeah. The cast has grown twice as large, so I like...
I like the Randall character, because they mm-hmm. kind of try to set him up to be like he's a bad guy, but like Elgin straight up fucking threw up on his shirt. I'd be pissed too. So, you know, it's... But
yeah,
I like how you think like, oh, he's like an aggro asshole. And then he goes down and he's like eager to help. Like, oh, okay, let's help. We can help you.
Yeah. 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 I like that too. I like that because it immediately made him stand out, right? That he's not going to be just like a, you know, a prick or whatever, like antagonistic.
Yeah.
So he looked like he kind of just jumped in and helped. And it made sense. Like you said, like he was pissed at the guy for fucking throwing up on him, which was yeah. kind of interesting. So what did you think about so two things. So, and I'm really happy they had like a summary of the first season, or at least like the last episode, because I was like, I remember this, I remember that, because yeah. I had totally forgotten about Sarah, who was the girl they were hiding, who was trying to kill.
Yeah, kind of the antagonist of the first season.
She's nowhere to be found yet, right? But she was being, she was, but she was like getting manipulated by the the whatever the monsters in
the tree, the vampire thingies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my guess. They're like vampires, but
that
also,
makes sense. Yeah.
Since they introduced the idea of it being in like just one big experiment, and you don't know if people in the town are in on it.
Hmm.
I'm like, ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah. It feels like it's going to be an experiment, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, there's something happened where I was like, oh, well, just like the house collapsing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was like a little too orchestrated, like a controlled demolition. Cause mm-hmm. it collapsed like from the inside going directly in as opposed to like falling apart.
And it only happened something else happened, right? It was like too much of a coincidence that
So I think what I'm gathering is when, what's her name? Is it not Tabitha? The wife?
Tabitha's the wife.
Yeah. Okay, so Tabitha, when she fell in, the house collapsed enough to plug the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. when husband, what's his name? Jim tries mm-hmm. to help and he starts to uncover the hole, that's when it collapsed again to cover the hole.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it also, in the previously on, they mentioned, I had forgotten that the voice says, like, you're Jim, right? Like, somebody knows who he was, right? Yeah. Or, you know, somebody knows who he is. So, and then, of course, the big reveal of Boyd getting out and seeing the chained up man. Kind of leads me to believe that they're purposely being held there, you know, like.
I'm wondering if it's, part of me wants to say they are keeping those vampiric, whatever they are, those ghost thingies down mm-hmm. there, and trying to utilize them as a power source because it feels like they're the ones supplying the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Since we saw that Tabitha, when she fell down, she saw that the wire was connected to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think they're pushing people in there so they can figure out how to keep these things at bay so they don't.
Right. Yeah. Cause it heavily alludes to this has been going on for such a long time. Not only like Victor being one of the first, you know, whatever visitors there.
Like he was a kid in the early '50s or something.
He was the kid in the photo and the man that the diary that Jade finds is he's the one making the symbols and stuff, which I'm assuming it's all related to. Whatever the things are, you know, the larger mystery. So,
the mystery of two, where because they're at From right now. And then they got addressed to
literally, as we were describing, like what's happened on this episode, I was like, what does the title mean From? It's like, where are you from? Like,
From, because everybody's from a different part of the US or they haven't introduced anybody that's outside of the United States yet, I don't think.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
Even though this clearly is taking place in Canada, but
yeah.
So I guess we could say America.
Toronto. Yeah.
It's pulling people from North America.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. What else happened this episode? It was a nice return episode. A lot of action. A lot of just kind of moved the plot pretty fast. Even slow paced at times. I felt like they just kind of set up where everybody was. And they tried to like deal with the new people. And before we even... They're all trying to hurry up before it turns dark. Because it's going to turn dark soon. So yeah. It was kind of like, hurry up, get these people in. And then we never... you know, we never got the, the people, it's not night yet. So I'm assuming episode two feels like it's going to be night. And then there's going to be a high death count.
Tabitha and Victor are still down there, right?
Tabitha and Victor are still down there, yeah. I felt like that scene kind of got dragged out a little bit. Like, this is kind of like, one episode is like 10 minutes in their world or something. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's very slow-paced.
Because they know how to, like, keep you in the correct timing as opposed to, like, Yellow Jackets. I'm like, I don't know what fucking time period these kids are, like, yeah, is this, like, month? They said they were only there for 19 months or something?
Yeah, something like that. I actually don't remember.
Yeah, you're right, because we're not talking about that show anymore. Fuck them. That's what you get for having a shit finale.
Yeah, it's true. But... overall, I'm pretty satisfied. It was a nice continuation. Not a lot happened in terms of Boyd, other than he meets that weird guy who asked, I forgot to mention, he asked to kill him. Please kill me. It's like,
yeah.
So there,
it could have been way worse. It could have been like, okay, this will make things easier. I need you to jack me off. Like, what? And Boyd's like, I guess I have no choice. And it's like, wait, what? God, that'd be a thrilling action-packed episode. So he does have like a weird dream sequence where he feels like he's not in control anymore because his hand starts to shake too much.
Oh yeah, at the beginning, right?
Where he's trying to like trying to call or do the like hey go home thing.
Mm. That's true. So that's also lingering his what did he say he had? Parkinson's?
Parkinson's. Well, yeah. Parkinson's. They allude to it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They did not write, say, you know, Parkinson's or whatever.
No, because, what's her name? Is not a real physician.
She's not, right? She's just like...
I think she's an EMT, question mark?
I think.
And then her fiance is actually a pediatrician?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had forgotten, just another side note, I had forgotten what the theme song was. I was like, oh yeah, what was the theme song? Because I only know the Yellow Jackets theme song because I've been listening to it.
Not the Pixies covering Kesara.
Yeah, Kesara, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Frank Black doing awesome. It's very good.
Little side note, because I mean, is there anything else to talk about on this episode?
Not really.
I just kind of want to get going to the next one already.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. And I was like, yeah, ready for the next one.
Side note, I saw the new Shazam movie. You can skip it if you want, because same way I felt about, I saw Quantumania finally. I was like, okay, that was also bad. All right.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that one yet. What did I watch? I finished. Like,
it's
bad.
Kind of funny. It's just the writing is just bad. It's just very like generic formula. I mean, the same with Shazam. It's just kind of like,
yeah,
very like phoning it in story.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
It's like, oh, Shazam sacrifices himself. He's dead. Like, come on.
Yeah. Come on. His name's literally. There, like, yeah. he's not dead. Yeah. He's not dead, man.
It was just a reason to, like, I know I'm spoiling things, but it's just a reason to, like, bring in Wonder Woman. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah. it's like, oh, all the gods are dead on Earth. I'm like, are you, like, paying attention to the news? The entire world was under attack.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's our review of From.
That's our review of From. Still awesome. Yeah. Okay. I got much else to say other than glad it's back. Happy it's back.
They can probably introduce Juliette Lewis into the show now.
Yeah. It'd be great if they did. They're in the same timeline, same universe.
Yellow Jackets. Exactly.
Okay, let's move over to our main review of Bones and All. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary. drum roll, please.
For 2022, Bones and All. Coming in at number 3, I have an alternate title for the film. Let the Nicholas Sparks In.
That's a good one.
And coming in at number 2, or Bones and All, Troubled Youth Hates Eating Out. And then coming in for number 1, for the film Bones and All, Relationship Finds Love Through Stomach.
All excellent. Alrighty, so this is, John, what did you think of Bones and All?
I think I briefly talked about, like, I didn't pay close enough attention to this movie because I was kind of busy doing stuff. I thought it was nice. I liked it. It was nice. I feel like it takes a lot from other very, very good films as well. Like, to me, this is very Let the Right One In, except, like, Let the Right One In is, like, far superior. I'm sorry, this film, but, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that movie had me captivated, and that love story, I believed, not that I didn't believe this one, but it's just, like, this movie felt like it was, how do I put this without it sounding stupid? Like, it was, like, a good movie for the sake of it being a good movie. Like, it was almost like an actor's vehicle, too, to showcase acting. Like, I can't say this is a horror film either.
Okay.
Like, it's barely a horror film. But other than that, I thought, it was like a very sweet film. It was very, like a cross between, like I said, Let the Right One In and Moonlight. I don't know. Like,
I can, let me throw another like brief descript that I came up with was a grounded Nightbreed. That's what I came up with.
Oh yeah, that's true too.
You know, because they're all monsters, and there's a whole world of monsters happening, and it's grounded, super like bare about people. Kind of an interesting take on, you know, an origin, a monster's origin story, I guess, right? But in this case, it, they're cannibals. Kind of shown through these, you know, individuals. They, you know, kind of like this, she finds out she's like a cannibal or monster, and then she kind of meets other monsters and what that world might be like and how many, how prevalent they are. And it kind of explains why they're like that and everything. So I thought it was actually pretty interesting.
You know, it's kind of like Near Dark also.
Yeah, it's kind of like Near Dark also. Your one of your loves of your life's in it, Chloe Sevigny, is it?
Sevigny.
Do you want to retell your story about that? Or should we save that for spoilers?
Many moons ago, I was a part of a small short film, and Chloe was the writer director. And at the wrap party, after I dropped off the truck, I showed up to La Poubelle over in Hollywood, off of Franklin. And I am walking up, and I remember that she had taken my lighter because she's an avid smoker of the cigarettes. And I had
actors don't smoke. How dare you?
It's true, especially not 90s act. And as I was walking up, because I was about like, "Oh, hey, Chloe, hey, do you have my lighter?" And she's like yelling at me, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And I get closer, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I was just wondering if you had my lighter." And she was like, "Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, fuck me, I guess." I'm like, What happened? She's like, "Well, I was just like yelling at you all the lyrics to Suburban Home because you're wearing a Descendant shirt. But I guess, yeah, here's your lighter." I'm like, "Oh my, I didn't hear you. I'm so sorry." But then she's like, "Oh, well, come in. And she's like fondling my love handles as we walk into La Poubelle. But and she's like basically like flirting with me, like, "What do you want? What do you want an appetizer? Do you want this?" I'm like, "Well, no, I'm vegan." She's like, "Okay, we'll make that. We're gonna have make give you something right now, right now. What do you want to drink? What do you want to drink?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, this is like I don't know how to handle this." Fucking Chloe Sauvignon. Hey.
And to describe your descendant shirt is pretty rough. I don't know if you even have it anymore. Do you? Do you still have it?
It's somewhere. I bought a
kind of for a while.
Another one, yeah. It was actually a hand-me-down from our friend Christopher Salyers.
Oh,
no last names.
No last names. Yeah. Yeah,
but I remember I cut out the sleeves and then I would wear it all the time.
Yeah, that's what I remember. And so you gotta describe this. She put your she put her arm around you and it fondled your love handles.
She's sorry,
I love the story. Yeah. Okay, I just like the story.
Go ahead. So, like, she like wrapped her arm around my waist and kind of like, you know, squeezed me in and said, like, thank you for everything. And then, like, my love handle was kind of right there and she just starts to like squeeze it and like, like, fondle it. Like, what's going on? And then a friend of mine later said, like, hey, John. So I was like randomly like scrolling and I saw you posted something on Instagram and I was like, wait a second. Oh, no, Chloe had posted a cast and crew photo, which in retrospect, I did not appreciate that Diane Franklin was the lead in that. I just like it was over my head that she was in the short. Just like, fuck, I can't believe she was in it. I just didn't say anything. But yeah, he was like, yeah. And then I saw that it's somebody that looked like you and I like zoomed in. And I was like, what the hell? That piece of shit. You did something with Chloe. You didn't call me. I'm like, I didn't know anybody in the crew. But yeah, he told me that allegedly in interviews, she likes to talk about being attracted to like average guys. Like she doesn't like tight bodies or like stuff like that. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that was her type. And I didn't realize.
I didn't know about that. That's news to me. That's fun. That's great. I love that. That's bones and all. That's really all I got to say.
That is bones and all. Until next time.
Oh, no, well, I really, really liked the movie. I was super into this movie. It, like, I love, like, the sort of, you know, fly in the wall, you know, grounded approach. Very, like,
kind of Stephen King-ish, right? It's got a very, the way the character set up, it almost feels like the first two quarters of a Stephen King novel. Mm-hmm. Where you're like getting to know these characters, but then it never has the crazy like fourth act. I mean, mm-hmm. It kind of did, but not really. I mean, third act, whatever.
We should also mention Timothy
Chalamet
is in this. Playing, you know, what is he? He is. What did it describe him? I had a good one, but I remember. Basically, like a.
It's like a hipster redneck, I guess.
Yeah. Hipster redneck, yeah, and Taylor Russell, who I'm not familiar with, either. So
she was fantastic, though.
I had a problem with their chemistry. Do you like, we really want to like get into it. So much of the film was reliant on their chemistry. And I think that they did a good job of conveying all the moments were there to convey that they were in love, but I never quite felt anything.
And I know I'm in the minority in this, but I've been very vocal about how I don't really like Timothy Chalamet. A whole lot, because every movie I feel like he's got the same issue with chemistry with other people. Like he's a little more focused on his, what he's doing in the moment.
Right. And yeah, and you've said that before, and I honestly haven't seen a bunch of his movies. I honestly don't know him. The only thing that comes to mind is Lady Bird.
Oh, and Dune.
And Dune. Oh, yeah, Dune. I saw Dune. But, I mean, there's so much going on in Dune. It's like, is that really, like, I don't know. Wasn't it? I thought he was okay in Dune, and I thought he was okay in Lady Bird. And this is like the first thing. This is the, probably the third thing I've actually like seen something in him. And not crazy. I agree with you now. I definitely agree with you on this. Like, I wasn't crazy about. There is something about. I don't know.
He's like another Zendaya. Does that make sense? Like, there's nothing particularly great about their talents.
Right.
They have a certain amount of attractiveness that is like good for screen.
Yeah, because I never felt, I know it's going to sound like I'm up my ass here, but I never felt his vulnerabilities. That makes sense. Like, I feel like he's smart and he understands what the scene is and he's playing it as he should and it's fine. But there's just not that, he doesn't have that like sensitivity or vulnerability that some actors convey more naturally.
You know what, 100%. That, I think that's where I'm like, the Zendayas and the Jenna Ortegas, they're so focused on what they're doing in the moment and also making sure that they look somewhat cool while they do it all the time. Like, that they look like there's nothing about them that's going to seem embarrassing later if they see it on screen.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Because then you have like Mark Rylance on the other side, who's just like completely lost in his character. And it's just like, I believed every second that he was in this movie that he was a cannibal. Every second he's in this movie, I believe that this guy's a real dude. His part is completely lived in. Even like the little like limps and the way he held his body language, like everything was just like, oh my God, he's just acting circles around these kids. It's so sad. So, you know, he almost like completely just,
so good.
He just outshines them in large respects. Like, he's just so amazing in this. And it's just all the little things he does with like his accent and his like body language, the way he holds himself, like every little like nuance, the way he holds a corner of his mouth, his like, everything is just there. Like, everything's so creepy and ominous about him.
No shade to this actor, but I think it kind of felt like Mark was trying to like hone in as Crispin Glover.
but even Crispin Glover feels like, okay, I love Crispin Glover. Crispin Glover's a little one note. Yeah, he's a little one note. Yeah, for his performances and stuff, but it's good. It's super good. Do you know what also I would have liked to have seen more of in this movie? Now that we're talking about, is the dad. It was Andre Holland. Like, I would have loved to have seen more of him because he's such a good actor. Great. Yeah. Because I took me a second to recognize him because I was like, he looked familiar, but.
Maybe that's why I said Moonlight, by the way. It was just like, I had it in my head and then I was like, yeah, duh, because he was
in it. Yeah, and it took me a second. And I was like, oh, is that? Oh, like, it was like literally like, trying to figure it out, like, and I finally, they did a couple of close-up shots and I was like, oh, that's fucking Andre Holland. I was like, I know who that is. He's fucking excellent in this too. So
can we compare this movie to another movie? I'm gonna ask which one do you think is better.
Okay,
because very similar sort of premise. Bones and All or Raw?
Ooh, that is, I felt the story in Raw was better.
Yeah.
Though I probably prefer the direction of Bones and All more. That's more, does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's totally make, but it's also, I feel like it's kind of in up your wheelhouse of.
It is 100%. They had like
indie film,
Like, even like the music too, all the like post punk, New Order, like all that stuff is like Joy Division, like all that shit's the stuff I like too.
Which the rest of it was Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
I looked that up. I was like, who's on this soundtrack? And they just had all of Trent Reznor.
Who, by the way, are doing the score for the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon movie.
Oh, the trailer dropped it, right? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think Seth Rogen has a big hand in that.
Oh, cool. I have to check it out. I like Seth Rogen. Actually, I like Seth Rogen as a producer, writer, or, you know.
Yeah, he's good. He
comes up with really creative stuff. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think I like the Raw story only because it was so much more unique in the its approach in that it's like about the sisters.
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
Also, pulled some really good performances out of those actors.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, the acting is excellent. I think that the love story, I don't think it worked. It was a little one note. Is that for Bones and all?
Yeah.
And
there weren't any real stakes. Like even when she runs away, that's where it's like, it starts to become very Nicholas Sparksy for me. Mm-hmm. Cause it's a little too like, nah, well, they're going to get back together. We know that there's no,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. And then a part of me was like, okay, maybe somebody's going to die at the end. Maybe, I don't know. Like I started calling that midway through the movie.
Yeah. I was a little, I agree. I was fascinated by the first half of this movie, but by like the latter half, I was kind of like, where's this movie going? Because it kind of just feels very like it's, I think this is based on a book, if I'm not mistaken. And it's very, it kind of feels like a book, especially early on when the father recorded that her history of eating people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she's listening to it on the bus. I guess that's like very like almost like a book. Like you can kind of, if you're not talking about the main characters, think you can always rely back to those instances of her past while she's, you know, going through there. And then I was kind of just waiting for, I don't know, like they do a good job of introducing the characters, you know, putting you in their world, but then like nothing, like, nothing really happens, I think, substantially.
No, not really. It's just, it kind of becomes like a, oh, this is where their life led them, blah, blah, blah. But then it's the same sort of, like hitting the same beats every time they move somewhere else.
Yeah, and Timothy Chalamet's like big confession, I called it him before. Before they said it, we can talk about spoilers if you want later, but like his big like reveal of what, you know, his past, I was like, oh, yeah, I could have caught that. You know, it wasn't, yeah. I wasn't particularly surprised, but
well, I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about. I mean, I think I have an idea.
Oh, okay. I'll let you know in spoilers what okay. I mean by his past and stuff, but yeah, all the beats were like, I don't know. It was like one of those movies that it's like it hits all these right notes, but it's like exceptionally directed, but like it's missing things to kind of push it, you know, into like a, like more like pushing it into more of a memorable standout film than what it is. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this movie was maybe like a half an hour too long.
I 100% agree with that. When I was like surprised too. I was like, it's 2 hours? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So what else can we talk about? There is a sister, but the sister for Timothée Chalamet doesn't seem to be that important except to reveal something about him.
Right. Yeah.
There's a couple of characters where I'm like, there's, I don't know why they're here.
Like the David Gordon Green character?
Yeah.
Like, why is David Gordon Green in this movie? I was like, oh, that's David Gordon Green. Who's decided to direct every historic horror franchise, you know? Because apparently, did you see that he's doing the new Exorcist movie also?
Oh, they're doing another Exorcist.
Yeah, can you believe that?
And then the new Hellraiser, I guess he's producing that one instead this time.
He produced it, yeah, which was okay. And the Halloween movies. He finished up the Halloween movies.
Sure did. did. Yeah, he was the dude. I thought those characters were gonna come back later. I was like, well, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're very. It was interesting, but like, it didn't go anywhere. Like, it's interesting that David Gordon Green's character is not cannibal. He's just. He's human, but he's not like them. Does that make sense? That's they allude to him like he partakes in it, right? But he's not. He's actually human.
I thought he was like them, but his buddy was not.
Oh,
damn. His buddy was just a little off, is what he said. And the reason he looks so pale and messed up is because he went bones and all. Like, he went all in.
Oh.
Something like that. That's why I thought they were going to become like a surprise thing at the end.
Yeah, because they made a big deal about them being weird, and then they, like, you know, Timothy Chalamet and Taylor Russell had to like escape. They're like this little like escape thing they did, and then there was no like follow up with it, like you said. So, yeah. But the other character Sully shows back up. He kind of is like a quote unquote villain of the piece.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
I mean, I want to say yeah.
Yeah. Again,
he also reminded me of like a. Like a character out of Doctor Sleep.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I'm eager to get into spoilers because I'm like, I just have lingering in my head what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into spoilers.
So the Lee reveals that he left his home because he got into a big fight with his dad and he ended up like killing and eating his dad. So
what's the issue?
I predicted that happening. Like when they were, you know, talking about what happened and everything, I was like, oh, he ate his dad. That's why he left. Because he mentions to his sister that he leaves a lot and he's been gone. And then I think he mentioned since their dad died. And I was like, oh, okay, I know what happened. Like, I kind of got ahead of it. And then they have this like moment, they're out in the fields somewhere. he's confessing to Taylor Russell's character. And I was just like, yeah, I know. I figured.
Yeah, I kind of figured that's what you were talking about. Yeah, that was pretty predictable. I don't know what it was about this movie. Like, I enjoyed the indie film aspect of it, mm-hmm. but the story just didn't do it for me.
I think I honestly believe, like, and you know, and not that I'm trying to shit all over Taylor Chalamet, I felt like Taylor Russell also's performance was a little not. I wasn't like blown away by her, though. She is well cast in this part, and as the lead was interesting. I felt like everything else she did, like not relating to the lead character, was more interesting. Does that make sense? Like when she does the scenes with Chloe Sevigny, who's like the mother, she's on this hunt to find her mom and the stuff she did, like just on her own, like aside the stuff, the relationship she developed with Sully, the Mark Rylance character. Like, I thought all of that was super, super interesting.
Yeah.
All of that was super interesting. But once he got with the lead character, kind of just, it felt flat because it's a very predictable, boring love story. And, it didn't really like go anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Timothy Chalamet is just like sucks all the energy out of a scene.
He's an emotional vampire.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. What energy vampire?
Energy vampire. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to shit on the kid too much. Like, he's kind of talented, but the same way like Zendaya and Jenna Ortega, like there's no, they just suck the energy out of things. Like, they're very, like, there's no expression, you know? Like,
yeah.
They do a lot of, like, loud movements to be like, I'm acting. It's like, I'm not
Well, I mean, let's be honest too. Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't like that great as a kid actor too. And now you look at him now and the guy's like worlds better.
The same. Oh yeah, worlds better, I mean.
Yeah. You don't like Leonardo DiCaprio? I thought he really surprised me with what was it? And it's the part. It's, can you guess a movie I'm gonna say based on everything Revenant. He's done? Which one?
Revenant.
No, I.
Are you gonna say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, hell no. This is another movie. Okay.
Django.
No.
Okay. No. Good, because you'd be very hypocritical if it was a Tarantino film.
Yeah, I would be incredibly hypocritical. No, I loved his performance.
Wolf of Wall Street.
No. I loved his performance in, you're getting close, it's a Martin Scorsese film, Shutter Island. His performance in Shutter Island, I think, is so underrated. So underrated. He's super good in that. And that movie's really surprised me. Not only with its, well, it's a Martin Scorsese film. Of course, it was going to be good, right? Especially his like riff on Val Lewton, the Val Lewton films. Yeah. It was a really well, excellent, underappreciated movie, and I felt like his performance was incredible. I thought he was such a really like excellent performance, and I saw like something different in him, in a range that I had never seen him in some of his other stuff, some of his more showy stuff, like Django, or like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, I thought he was great in that. Yeah, you know, we will. See, I feel like Timothée Chalamet is about to do a couple of movies that are either going to make or break him. Like, these will be his
Wonka.
What's the name of that actor? Yeah, Wonka. And he's doing another one where I'm like, ooh, okay. Let's see what happens. But I mean, I've been proven wrong before. Like, Heath Ledger as the Joker, I was one of the anti that. And then he fucking murdered that role.
Yeah. But he was
super like, he's, that's gonna suck.
The thing with that is Heath Ledger has always been good at all, like, you literally track his career, he's always been really good in all his stuff, and it was like kind of like leading up to, I mean, he would have been fine, I assumed, you know, like going into it. Yeah, I think he's gonna be one of those actors that, you know, maybe he'll get good once he gets older. He's able to not, you know, he could be vulnerable and be more expressive when he gets older.
Oh, less ego. He's going to be Bob Dylan in like a Bob Dylan biop.
Oh, God, that's, I'm already. You know who the best Bob Dylan?
Over,
huh? The best Bob Dylan was fucking
Cate Blanchett.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. She was a great Bob Dylan. Yeah. That was a great Bob Dylan. But, yeah.
See.
Okay. Have you seen Call Me By Your Name?
No, I haven't. But it is Pride Month, so maybe I'll jump on that. I have not. I'm ashamed to say, for whoever is listening to this episode.
Why are you ashamed? I don't understand.
No, it's just... Because I think I've lied about it a couple of times. Like, oh, yeah.
You're like the guy who lied that he was in 9/11, but he wasn't. Have you heard of that guy? You're living a lie, John.
But it's kind of like to avoid people going like, you haven't seen it yet. Like Succession, I finally have to tell people like, oh, no, dude, like I'm barely like beginning season two. I'm not anywhere close to the end.
Yeah.
But then I'm also the same person that's like, have you seen Severance? I'm like, why haven't you seen Severance yet? You got to watch Severance.
Yeah. Well, you mean there's not enough time to watch all of these shows. It's just like,
there's always time to watch them. <I'm just kidding. laughs> Yeah. Especially because you got to get through the first four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Before like you're like super involved.
Did I tell you that the rumor is that those creators don't like each other anymore?
Oh. Shit.
They like the guy actually hated the one of the, and this is all conjecture, this is rumor, right? That the one of the creators literally wanted off the first season. Like he didn't want to continue it, but they kind of, you know, dragged him back on. And a lot of the stuff towards the end was Ben Stiller kind of made them stay together, like to continue to work on season two, which is why I think that the rumor is that that season's not, you know, it's a lot of friction, which doesn't mean much because it still could be fucking great, right?
Yeah, because I mean, I think I know what you're talking about. They weren't ever in the same room together, is what I heard.
Right.
Plot twist, because one person was always in a white room and told to just work, and when they leave, they have no memory of what happened, and it is the same guy.
Yeah, that is a great description of what that show's about. By the way, John. Well said, John. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts? Last thoughts?
No. Oh, well, I mean, we didn't talk about, just quickly, at the very end, Sully comes back.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Is, I guess the idea was he was going to scalp, what's her name? I'm guessing he collected the hair of other cannibals that are women, is what I gathered from what was going on.
Yeah,
so
I
had,
didn't
like,
understand.
A ponytail, like, rope.
Disgusting amount of people's hair. A rope of hair. Yeah. I thought it was because victims he collected hair. That's what I...
Now that makes sense too, yeah.
Gathered.
Because he like wanted to kill her?
I kind of feel like he...
Rape?
He... All of the above. He was upset because he actually led her into his world. And so... And she just was like, I don't trust you, right? She kind of very matter-of-factly says, like, I don't trust you. I don't know. I don't, you know, I don't feel comfortable with you. And he kind of was, like, felt betrayed by that. So he didn't like that. For one, he was rejected. Two, that he was, he opened up to her, but she denied it. And then, like, that he, like, you saw who he was. I think he's very private. He'd been very, like, by himself, lives in the shadows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I gathered from it. I thought the hair was what from the victims. But he does say early on that you can't trust us or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, I'm also wondering, he collects the ponytails, and he as well has a ponytail.
Mm-hmm. He likes ponytails.
Braided the same way, yeah. He's just really into ponytails. Just a little side note about his character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like an interesting little part at the end where I'm like, oh, okay. And then I thought like they were going to get out of it, but Timothy Chalamet... I thought about it for a while, and then I just decided that he was just being dramatic and was like, just eat me, it's fine, even though he just got stabbed in the shoulder, which I know you could probably die from if you don't treat it. But it wasn't like, it was once, you know? And he was just like, oh, just eat me, and she...
Did?
Does? And then doesn't?
Maybe she was full. I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like she doesn't actually eat him. My guess is that they both ended up eating Sully, and then he got better.
Did she ate his part or something, right? Organs.
Yeah, pulled out like his intestines or something and just started eating them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really show it.
Which is why I think she was full, and she's like, no, I won't eat again. Don't die, because he's Timothy Chalamet. He's like, eat
Stop
me.
Stop trying to fatten me up.
Yeah. I don't want to be fat. I'm full. So,
yeah, because that last end sequence, I mean, you could assume it's like a dream sequence, but I don't think it was.
It was
like a weird.
It was not a very satisfying ending. Yeah, it is open-ended, unsatisfying ending, because then they just. That moment happens, and then they cut to them again. And
I thought Green's character was going to come back with that other guy, and then they were going to kill them, and then that was going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the super twist at the end. Like, they came back, found them, killed them. Because that's just a cycle of life for them or whatever. But
right. Yeah. That actually makes more sense. would have preferred that. Yeah, if they would have just got randomly killed or something. Both of them?
Yeah. I feel like that would have been more poetic than like what happened with Sully, which you were kind of waiting to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Okay. Anything else?
No.
No? You're good? All right.
No, I'm all good. Good.
Good. Good. Great. Yeah. Yeah. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Bones and All 7 sexy bones and all.
A lot of bones there. A lot of bony sentence you just said. Okay, I'm going to give it... I was actually pretty high on the movie, but I think I'm going to give it just slightly higher than you, just an 8. Just because there's a lot of things to like about this movie, but I was left a little cold overall with the
story. Yeah, like I can't say... It was a good movie. That's the thing. Like, I can't say it was... I didn't hate it at all. I thought it was fun. It was, I mean, good. But like you said, yeah, there was just too much of it where I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's a good way. Like you said, it's a good indie movie. It's good indie movie. Yeah. Yeah. No problems with it. Maybe this is somebody closer, maybe younger watches this. They'll like, oh, this is like my favorite movie because they can.
Yeah. This is their awakening film or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It felt very much like an Arclight movie and it made me miss the Arclight.
That's 1000% true. But you know what did just open? Vidiots opened. They got their theater open in Eagle Rock. Yeah. They have the rentals back. I don't know if you know that they have the rentals again. They're their video store open and they have a theater now. So they have like a schedule of movies. So I was kind of thinking of getting a membership. Because it's like, you know,
right there.
You know how with all the shit going, I was streaming and then it's all consolidating. It's just, you know, it's a mess. You know, physical media might be the way to go again.
Yeah.
Kind of feels that way.
It's true.
It's all coming around. Alrighty. Now let's leave on that down note. So.
Yeah, watch American Born Chinese. We'll get a second season. Thank you.
Thank you. Need work. Need appointment. Yeah. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.